A personal note, my mom was a cloth coat person until very late in life. When she picked up a used fur jacket at the resale store she founded and ran, a personal triumph for her, and I wish I'd been kinder. But like PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, I'm concerned about fur's cruelty to animals. Well, so is Jasmine Sanders, but in a recent piece in the New York Times, she explored the history of fur, including her own African-American mothers, whose furs, Jasmine wrote, were her insistence on public elegance in a world frequently inhospitable to her. Well, that brought to mind another moment when I worked for an almost exclusively African-American TV staff that wanted to do a fur fashion show. I felt I couldn't, and one young woman said to me, "Oh, now that my people can finally afford a fur, you're telling me it's not cool?" Let's bring in writer Jasmine Sanders. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And, you know, when I read your article, I was reminded of that moment, and it's something you've heard a lot.
Yes, I have. It's an image that I think has become almost archetypical, right? A black woman on her way somewhere wrapped up in this big, sumptuous fur.
And as you write, for women like your mother, your grandmother, your aunts, your sisters, it was more than a personal luxury item. This was an investment.
Yes. My grandmother died when I was pretty young. I'd never seen her in a fur coat. But I remember my mother telling me, you know, we would go down south and those family members had houses, and we never had a house, but my mother had other things. You know, she had fur, and that was something that my mother said that really stuck with me, the importance that the coat came to hold.
Well, and let's just be clear, your grandmother never had a house because she, in the Great Migration, went to Chicago, where federal housing codes barred loans being offered to black people. There was all sorts of housing discrimination. She couldn't have a house.
Right.
Right. Well, talk more about your mother.
Yeah, so my mother's first coat was a mink. She and my aunts would say, you know, when you're over 35 as a woman, you have to have a mink. It's like a really elegant status item when you're older. So when she was in her 40s, she bought her mink, and she got it for herself from a furrier in Chicago that's really well known called Andriana Furs. And then her second fur coat, which is a fox fur, was a gift from her husband just like a few years ago.
And the first coat, she was at that moment single and, as you write, employed at the same drug rehab center that she credited with her own sobriety. This was something that she had to save a lot for. Do with an installment plan on layaway.
Yeah, I think in a lot of ways it was a celebration of her sobriety and also being a woman who was in her 40s and single and kind of feeling good about herself. So she wanted to purchase a big item.
So there's the thinking, which ran right into a cultural shift. And many black women feel that this sort of cultural disavowal of fur suspiciously coincides with their ability to get it.
Yeah, it was similar to something that my mom had said when I was interviewing her about PETA. And she said, "I don't feel like that has anything to do with me. We live on the south side of Chicago. I don't see those people here. They don't seem to want to be speaking to me anyway. And so I feel like we're operating kind of completely outside of that." And so I remember thinking about that kind of cultural disconnect between what mainstream culture is doing versus what women like my mother and like black women in general are doing in fashion and style. And so I was reading books about how black women approach style, and I came across a quote by Paula Marie Seniors where she says of her mother, "The tide is always turning, you know, like the minute black women could afford to get a fur coat, white society said that fur wasn't okay." Yeah. So it was kind of hearing that from my mother and then finding evidence of other people who felt that way.
Do you think there's, it is more than a coincidence? Do you think, I mean, that one has anything to do with the other?
I think that it's, I don't know that it's directly connected, but I do think it's indicative of the mainstream animal rights movement not knowing how to engage black people. And it feels like black people, especially black women, are a huge blind spot, and they seem to not understand it.
Well, you quote a letter from the then head of PETA that was reportedly written to Aretha Franklin.
Yes.
And saying what?
Aretha Franklin, basically for her entire career, was a noted fur collector. And the president of PETA at the time wrote her this really nasty letter where he insulted her size. He told her she looked like a clown. And, you know, her fur coats made her look old, and like an unimaginable letter to Aretha Franklin. And she never officially responded, but I guess her response was in her continuing to wear her fur coats.
It seems like what you were saying is, boy, if you ever wanted to have somebody you could maybe talk to and bring in as a partner in your campaign against the treatment of animals, you really lost that moment with Aretha there.
I mean,
you know, that was not going to happen. Right. In your writing, you also take us through the history of fur, which is very closely tied to the history of America. The expansion of the country had to do with trapping and hunting beavers. Marian Anderson stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, sang in a fur after she wasn't allowed to sing at Constitution Hall. So it's just really, really entwined. How was this also about you trying to decide how you feel about fur?
It was, absolutely. For example, I spoke to a PETA spokesperson, and he began the interview with asking, you know, Jasmine, how do you feel about fur? And I explained to him that I was kind of fur ambiguous. Like, I can't imagine purchasing one, but I'm so wrapped by the image of my mother wearing her furs and other Black women wearing their furs. And I have like any number of pictures on the internet of myself in my mother's fur coat, which he mentioned. Like, well, we've seen the pictures online of you in fur, so we were just wondering your feelings about it. But obviously, I recognize the importance of conservation and veganism and being mindful of consumption and the things that we are consuming. So I would say I am fur ambiguous.
Except when it might come to your mom, who doesn't sound like she's leaving us very soon. But
no.
leaving you her fur.
Yeah. Again, I can't. And even as recently as this interview, when my mother asked me, do I want a fur? And I was just kind of unsure. You know, I don't know that I would be able to wear it. But again, it's just an image that I'm really enamored with and that I'm really charmed by. And I feel like there should be room for people to say. I mean, I consider myself like attempting to be at least a mindful consumer. So I feel like there should be room for people who kind of aren't so sure.
Or people who want to wrap themselves in the thing that may even still smell of their mother.
And, yeah, absolutely. PETA, a lot of the times, will advocate for people to donate their fur coats if they're newly vegan to homeless shelters where they'll make like fur blankets out of them, which is a nice gesture, but it's like it doesn't mean that the animal didn't die for it already. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, there's kind of no unskinning the animal or the mink.
You close with a pretty enduring image of your mom at a cousin's funeral in her fur.
Yeah, I think part of what's lost with like modern documentation of street style is like women like that are lost. Black women you see going to church or going wherever they're going in the wintertime with their big fur coats on, like my mom. It's kind of an image you don't see in publications anymore, but you're familiar with it and you see it when you walk down the street. Like, I live next door to a church now, and I love seeing so many Black women come to church in their mink. So I do think it's a totem of like Black urban life
and resilience.
Yeah.
By the way, what's been the response to your article?
It's been overwhelmingly positive, which shocked me a little bit.
Were people saying what?
People saying that it's something that they'd always felt and always thought about, that they had this image in their mind or this image that they were familiar with, which was a Black woman in a mink.
That's the history. But what do you make of young African-Americans wearing fur today? Tiffany Haddish protesting what she says is police brutality against African-Americans by continuing to wear fur. I'm guessing kind of saying, well, maybe people first before animals. I'm not sure. Big Boy or
I
fur coat to the
so.
Super Bowl.
Big Boy. Cardi, really serendipitous. The day that the article came out, Cardi showed up to her court hearing and it was beautiful, like fox fur, I believe it was. I think the message is a kind of defiance. I think that most Black people, especially Black celebrities, are aware of the current climate and the power that PETA may hold. And so I think that choosing to go out publicly in fur is definitely, I think, a potent statement regarding what you're not willing to give up and the ways that you won't allow yourself to be redirected or to be limited by the whims of mainstream fashion.
Well, and we should say that PETA made what many people thought were really bad steps when they had a campaign that juxtaposed a picture of a black civil rights protester being beaten at a lunch counter with images of a seal being bludgeoned. Both horrific, but the idea of human-animal comparison was, you tell me, seemed insulting.
It is. It's incredibly insulting. And there's also, if you're a black person, you know that your body and your personage are often compared to animals and often considered animalistic and of no more value than an animal.
So I want to be clear, Jasmine, and I'm going to let you go. It all seemed to be working towards really one thing, a lot of work, working towards one thing, which a lot of people will be familiar with, whether or not you will take your mom's furs. And you've concluded, you concluded what?
I concluded that I will. I won't buy one, but I'll definitely take them.
Jasmine Sanders, her piece is A Black Legacy Wrapped Up in Fur. We'll link you at hereandnow.org. Jasmine, thanks so much for the talk. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
So lots here, including, is a hand-me-down just different or still a symbol of cruelty to animals? Thoughts, welcome, hereandnow.org.